name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Greetings, brothers and sisters, on this blessed feast day of the entry of the Theotokos into the temple. And Mary's parents, Joachim and Anna, promised God that if he would give them a child in their old age, they would dedicate that child to God. And today's feast celebrates the fulfillment of that promise when they brought their child Mary to the temple to serve God at the age of 3. And while the earthly life of the Mother of God is shrouded in deep mystery, and her life at the Jerusalem temple was also sort of hidden, sacred tradition says that during the time of the stay of the All-Pure Virgin at the Jerusalem temple, she grew up in a community of pious virgins, diligently read the Holy Scriptures and occupied herself with handicrafts, and prayed constantly and grew in love for God. The origins of this feast in the first centuries of Christianity are found in the traditions of the Palestinian Christians, where mention is made that the Holy Empress Helen, mother of St. Constantine, built a church in honor of the entry of the Theotokos into the temple. As far back as the 4th century and later, holy fathers such as St. Gregory of Nyssa, St. Germanos, St. Tiresias, St. Theophylact, St. Gregory Palamas, and many others have delivered sermons on this holy feast day. The Temple of Jerusalem was an enormous structure and occupied an area of some 35 acres, in other words, more than 35 football fields. There were many magnificent gates, but the one that Mary entered into was the Nicanor Gate that was the most magnificent of them all. The immense brass doors were 75 feet high and 60 feet wide, and they took 20 men to open them. Then there were also 15 curved stairs leading up to these gates, and in ancient times the Jewish priests would chant special hymns at each step. So they would go to the first step, chant hymns, go up to the next step, and this is all preparation for the prayers. And this tradition is still preserved in our Orthodox liturgical worship as part of the Matin service, and it's known as the Hymns of Ascent. So we have, you know, ideally you have 15 hymns that kind of derive from this, or the Hymns of Degrees. And it's an image of lifting up our hearts and minds in prayer as we ascend closer to God in spirit. And this is also why we have all the prayers in preparation for Holy Communion, so that we are in a more inspired spiritual state. These 15 steps themselves were probably about 20 to 30 inches deep, which basically forced anyone going up them to do so in a processional manner rather than just a normal flight of stairs. And in terms of child development, a 3-year-old child normally cannot just run up a flight of normal stairs, let alone a grand processional array of huge stone steps like these. A 3-year-old usually takes the laborious process of holding on to the railing, putting one foot on the step, and then bringing the other foot up to that step. You know, they just go one step at a time. And they repeat this process until they eventually get to the top of the stairs. And I think that's why we call them toddlers, you know. And tradition tells us that when Joachim and Anna placed Mary on that first step, it seemed pretty unlikely that she would be able to, you know, climb up these steps by herself. However, strengthened by the power of God, Mary somehow quickly made it up the remaining steps and ascended to the highest, to the astonishment of everyone. So it was more by the grace of God than just physically, because these steps were really too high for her to just, you know, as a little child, just to go scampering up. through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the high priest Zacharias, he was a prophet, a priest, and the future father of St. John the Baptist. He then led the Most Holy Virgin into the Holy of Holies, which only the high priest was permitted to enter once a year with a purifying sacrifice of blood, as we just heard in the epistle. The original Temple of Solomon was destroyed by the Babylonians, and the second temple had then later on been rebuilt. And this is from the book The Meaning of Icons. But rabbinical tradition says that it was missing 5 things that had been in the first temple. Because when it was destroyed, then those precious gifts, as it were, you know, somehow lost or hidden or carried off. The 5 things were the fire from on high, like the holy fire, the oil of anointment, the ark of the covenant, the Holy Spirit, and the Urim and Thummim. And these are the mysterious stones that were contained in the breastplate of the high priest, and they were used to discern God's will. However, the high priest Zacharias, by God's inspiration, saw in the Most Holy Virgin the new Ark of the Covenant, the living Ark. In the Temple of Jerusalem, the chosen virgin will prepare herself to become later the temple of his body. The theme of the temple in the Feast of the Entry of the Most Holy Theotokos allows us a glimpse of that, the church, the body of Christ. So in other words, pretty much the temple used to be this place where there was all this grace, you know, and all these spiritual gifts and everything, you know, the Ark of the Covenant and all that. But when those things were lost, they kind of lost the grace, you know, because of their disobedience. That's why the Israelites kept getting captured by the Egyptians and the Babylonians and the Romans and all that, is because they wouldn't keep God's commandments, and so God, you know, would take those things away from them. So the temple that was at Jerusalem at the time of the Mother of God and then of course in Christ was this second rebuilt temple which no longer had that grace. So when the Mother of God came into the temple, Zacharias recognized that the grace has returned. But now really Mary carried the grace because she became the temple, you know, the living temple. So it was, and this was really the end of, it brought about the ending of the Temple of Jerusalem being the place where one would go to pray properly and to receive grace from God. Now, of course, Christ has brought grace, you know, through the church to all Christians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, St. Paul admonishes the Christians to flee sin and live righteously, and says, "Know ye not that your temple, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God?" Well, many holy fathers have seen in the three parts of the temple the three stages of spiritual life. In the temple you have the outer court, the inner sanctuary, and then the Holy of Holies. And the holy fathers say that this corresponds to the purification, illumination, or sanctification, and then theosis, or deification. So the court of the temple is an image of the active life, where the aim is freedom from passions. The second part of the temple, the veil of the holy, opens the way for natural contemplation, which is the knowledge of God in creation. But the Holy of Holies corresponds to contemplation, which is knowledge of God in the Logos, which means just God in his existence. So the Orthodox Church has, you know, retained this form. So we have the narthex, which is like the outer court. We have the sanctuary, which is like the inner part of the temple. And then we have the Holy of Holies, which is the altar area. So the very form of our Orthodox worship is still based on that original form and corresponds to these spiritual states as well. The Most Holy Theotokos, therefore, is an image for us of one who has fully become this temple within which God dwells. You know, she achieved deification, of course, you know, because God dwelt within her womb. The day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles, was the beginning of the apostolic church on earth, the body of Christ. So we are called to imitate the Mother of God, and that we too should strive to become temples of the Holy Spirit. Through the prayers of the Most Holy Theotokos, may God help us to truly be as living cells in the body of Christ on earth, the one holy ecumenic and apostolic church. Glory be to our God.